That's right.
Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Everybody want to go ahead and stand up as we worship this morning? Good to see you here. Let's go ahead and worship.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. it was my tomb, till I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. When you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now you're
you. you make my heart pound when you fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me, so calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound when you fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Foundations, you see foundations.
All that I have is Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Guys, isn't that, I love that verse that talks about, come on my soul. Sometimes we are grateful, right? We know we're grateful. We're so thankful. But sometimes we got to stir ourselves up, right? We got to stir ourselves up because it's easy to see the mess and miss the miracle sometimes, right? Sometimes we just got to, tell ourselves, come on, soul. Let's do it. Let's do that. All right. Well, anyway, welcome. Good to see you guys. Go ahead and greet some of your family of faith. Shake a few hands, meet some new people. Oh. All right. I know everybody likes to talk a lot. I'm going to make you go ahead and sit down. Sorry. I'm like, sorry. You can talk after. I have to sound meaner. Okay. No, I can't do that. All right. Well, we have got Drew is going to take up the offering for us this morning. So.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, guys. Good morning. Thanks for coming. Good seeing you guys, as always. Just so you know, there's offering envelopes in the seat in front of you, along with prayer cards that the ushers will be passing around. So just raise your hand if you want a prayer card. We can take up prayer with you as a church. And then if you need an offering card, just let us know. But yeah, how good it is to just be able to trust the one living God with our finances, right? So this is our chance to do that and move forward in faith and give that offering to the Lord. I'll go ahead and pray over our offering, and you guys can prepare that and bring that up after I'm done. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for gathering here today to worship you, Lord, to thank you for the endless blessings that we see and we don't see day to day. We know that the word says, bring your first fruits and wealth to the offering, and your barn will be overflowing. So, Lord, we trust you with this offering, Lord. We know that you will use it and to bless and strengthen this kingdom, Lord, and to bring others to you. So we thank you for that. We thank you for that ability to be here in your grace and your hope and to worship you today, Lord. We thank you for that. And in Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you. You guys can come on down, bring your offering. I'm going to start with some announcements while we do that. All right. So first of all, I wanted to say welcome. We do have some new faces here. So welcome. Nice to see you. We do have visitor cards if you're interested in filling those out. And you can give them to me when it's over. but we would love to just, I promise you, we don't spam people, right? We are not like calling you and texting you and sending you all sorts of things. We just wanted to get some information about you. Also, if you want to know a little bit about our church, most of the seat backs, I believe, have these. So this is a little bit about our church, tells you a little bit about us here in Urbana, those sorts of things. Or you can just ask me. I'll talk to you too afterwards. So, yeah. So a couple of announcements. We do have Next Steps coming up in November on November 17th. And what Next Steps is for those of you who feel like this is a church you want to be a part of, this is your family, we have Next Steps, and we will do that immediately after service on the 17th. So I think that's 2 weeks from now. So yeah, coming quick. Speaking of coming quick, next week, don't forget, time change. I'm sorry, you have to fall back. I'm sorry. So just don't forget. I don't like it, you guys. I don't like the darkness so early. I feel like I gotta go to bed at like 5. But anyway, but also next Sunday, we have youth hangout, right, in the evening? Yeah, so that will be at 6 p.m. here next Sunday the 3rd. Also, where's Bill? Bill, Joy Fellowship tonight, Joy Fellowship. So we've got that tonight. That is at 5 p.m., and that is for our ages. What's the ages? 50 and better. But anybody can go. So, and they always, I'm just going to tell you guys, they have a lot of good food. So that's here at the church at 5. So if you want to be a part of that, please come. Talk to Bill if you have any questions. Also, the Christmas shoeboxes. We have Christmas shoeboxes we're doing. And Patsy's kind of in charge of that, right? You're in charge of that. So they are due on the 17th as well, right? So 2 weeks, and we want to make sure we get them to her. Let's see. I've got Vinny and Tish coming up to make an announcement. Guys, come on up.
Who's talking? Are you guys going to fight over it?
No. Okay, so I know that Pastor Kylan made the announcement. Oh, I can hear it back here real well. Okay. I know Pastor Kylan made the announcement last week about the group that we're starting. But I wanted to come up here so I could tell you a little bit more about it, because this is for kids ages 8 and on up. Can be boys, can be girls, it doesn't matter. If they've got a desire to do some cooking and baking, we would love to work with them. So once a month, we're going to be getting together, and there is a sign-up sheet back there. We're going to be getting together with them. We're going to be baking. We're going to be teaching them how to read recipes, use their measuring cups, that type of thing. We are going to focus mainly on the cooking and baking this year. Next year, we're going to get into some simple sewing and maybe some other crafts and things. But we want to enjoy your kids. We know you enjoy them, but we would like to enjoy your kids. So if they have any type of interest in this, we would love to work with them. anything else?
You have anything to say?
Okay.
No, you know she's not going to say. So, yeah, absolutely. Don't forget to sign up. I think that that is such a great idea. I love it that we are using all the generations, right? We're combining them all. We are getting them. The younger generations are learning from the older generations. I love it. I love to see it. So, and I think I have all the announcements. So as you guys know, most of you know, I am not my husband. He is not here this morning. So, but we have a very special guest, right?
Thank you.
So we've got Pastor Nicole Waters. She is from the Botkins campus, and she's going to be sharing with us this morning. So I'm really excited about it. So come on up.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Anytime we can help give Kylan a day off. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is his birthday celebration.
No, it's a Christmas.
From last year, or is it early? I don't know about that. That breaks the rules. But he's at a football game,
yes.
Right? And they moved the time. So it wasn't like he wasn't planning on being here. He really was. He would not sell you out for a football game, I promise. It's that they moved the time back, and so he felt himself in this pinch position. He's like, Pastor Nicole. I'm like, I'm on it. Let's go. So I'm actually very excited to be here with you. It's great to be in your house and outside of mine. Not that I don't love mine or ours, but I like to get out and be amongst. I've seen a lot of new faces. How many of you are here for the first time today? Anybody? Okay. So as Margo said, I'm not the pastor of this church, but Pastor Kylan, and he's much better than I am. Less demonstrative. Trust me, I'm a woman. He's a man. He's very calm like this, but I'm very demonstrative. How many have never been in this house when I've come home to preach? Anybody? Okay, good. So this is going to be your first time. So I'm going to do my best, and either you're going to love me or you're going to hate me. We'll see. So I want to speak to the church today about something that's very near and dear to my heart, and that's praise. Now, I know that sounds crazy because some people are like, yeah, we just did it. And praise and worship to me I kind of feel awkward. I don't want to lift my hands, but I used to be a praise and worship leader. So it's very important to me, and I understand what a tool that praise is in the believer's life. That, did you hear me? It is a tool. It is actually a spiritual habit that you and I need to develop. Some of you are squirming in your seat right now. Trust me, I'm not going to make you raise your hands. I'm not going to make you open your mouth. But I'm telling you that God didn't ask us to praise. He commanded us to praise. And that if you and I could get a hold of that tool and put it in the believer's tool belt, along with some other things, that there would be some battles that could be won on the battleground of praise and not the battleground of mourning. Nobody got nothing done by walking around like this saying, I wish things would get better. I wish things would get better. But the minute we begin to put a demand on faith and begin to speak the word of God in your and I's life, speak what God said in our life, there are angels that are deployed in order to carry that word forth. Now, you can believe it or you can just live in the numb-glum life. I'm not choosing to live there. But I read the Bible and I hear that praise silences the enemy. It confuses him. In fact, in Chronicles, if I had time, I would take you to the place where an army literally sets up against the Israelite people, and God confuses the armies that they turn on one another and literally obliterate themselves, and Israel walks in and collects all of the spoil and takes it home and didn't do anything except send out a group of praisers. Now, I'm going to be real with you. I'm sure that might have been a little hard. Yeah, we're going to put you on the first lines today without a weapon. In the physical realm. But how many of you know that we don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities and spirits of this world, right? There's a reason that God gave us the weapons that he gave us. It's not just a weapon of warfare, but it lifts the spirit of heaviness. And I know within this house today that there's some of us that have been hit one after another and another. And it takes a toll on your soul. It pushes you down and lays weight on your shoulders. But today I'm here to preach that praise will lift the spirit of heaviness and you put on a garment of praise. Did you hear me? It's something you put on. It's not something that is within you. It's something you choose to put on you. You see that? It's not something that she owned within her. It's she chose by choice to say, no matter what my circumstance, no matter what I'm walking through, no matter how long I've been in this position, I put on this garment of praise and I exchange it for heaviness. Yeah. It's a choice of mine and your soul. It's our soul that must decide. Now, this is not even on my notes. This is going to be a long... When is my time? Where's my timer? Okay. Today might look a little bit different in the fact that I might just sing through my message. And I'm doing this to show you what it means. Ephesians 5:19 says that we as believers are supposed to sing to one another in psalms and hymns. Well, I don't know about you, but I did not greet Miss Margot this morning with, hello, today is the day to be happy in the Lord. Today is today. I didn't do that. Did you greet anyone like that today? But we came together in the house and we worshiped and we praised. And as I sang forth my words, you heard them. As I watched, what's your name? As I watched Lila praise and worship God today, she encouraged me to do the same. We encouraged each other with psalms and hymns. What are those? Songs written today by normal worship people? Like, well, we didn't sing Just As I Am. Yeah, you're right. Because we're about 100 years past that song. And I'm not against Just As I Am, but I sure do like some of the songs we sang today. Why? Because they're about my current struggle right now. Right now. And these are songs and hymns, and there's nothing wrong with those old hymns. Some of them have such value and such pliability in our life right now, but I want something current for my situation. And when I look at you and I sing, I was in a small group a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to protect small group culture at the main house because what happens in a small group stays in a small group. Right. Hear me out. Because if people can't reveal their weaknesses and their struggles to the church, then who else can they reveal them to? And we don't need little Miss Nagaboo talking on the corner about what Jillian said in the group. So I have a girl in my group and she's just told that she's going through it. She's got a husband, I don't know, below 40 years old, that's in stage 4 cancer, and she's on the struggle bus, and she's revealing her situation to this group. And in the midst of that, someone else starts talking, and she looked at me and she said, "Won't he do it?" I said, "Yes, he can." And this is a song on the radio, if you don't know it. "Won't he do it? Yes, he can. Won't he do it? Yes, he will." This is the point, is that she's saying a song on the radio. Why? Because it's ministering to her spirit. And in return, because I was listening to the same song, I knew where she was going. Her faith was being built in the middle of a small group, and she was being encouraged by a song in her mind. She spoke the first word to me, and I repeated the rest of the line back to her. Why? Encouraging one another in psalms and in hymns. Lift one another up. Remind each other to put on the garment. Put it on. Let's go to Psalms 150, 1 through 6. Here's what it says. It says, "Praise the Lord." No, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything, someone say everything, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Now, everybody right now, just take a deep breath. Is there anyone dead? Then that means everyone and everything in this house can praise the Lord. It's your breath in my lungs, so I'll pour out my praise. Pour out my praise. It's your breath in my lungs. You see? What is that? That's breath. That's a song. That's a hymn that's causing me. You know what? I dare you, the next time something happens in your life and the devil tries to bring silence to you, remember this. The very first thing he needs is silence to win the war. Your silence allows the enemy to win in your situation. But your vocal cords will cause you to triumph and receive victory in a situation, no matter what it is. My husband just lost my job. It lost his job. And he came home. He's like, baby, we're in trouble. I lost my job. It's your breath in my lungs, so I'll pour out my praise. Pour out my praise. Why? I chose to put on praise instead of receiving what the enemy is trying to sell me. It's a command that you and I, and praise comes from three positions. I'm going to teach you something today. Praise comes from what God has done, what God is doing in your life. So what he's done, what? He sent his son Jesus for you and I. That every promise of the word is yes and amen to you and I. That no longer are we held up by sin. No longer are we not paid for. We've been redeemed by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who paid our price. And we will no longer be held in judgment against our sin, because his blood did that work for us. Amen. That's our past. Our present is that we continue to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Every situation that you're going through now looks different because of the Word of God. Because no longer do we look at a situation the way the world looks at the situation. We look at our situation the way God looks at our situation. He doesn't say that we're defeated. He doesn't say we're broken. He doesn't say we're sick and diseased. He said we're healed. He said he mends the brokenhearted. In fact, he walks close to us while the broken heart is present. He's come to deliver us from the wiles and the thwart of the devil. Do we not understand the power that we own in Jesus's name and the work he is doing in our lives right now? I'm no longer the person I used to be. I'm being transformed into the likeness of Christ every day, little by little. It may not be as fast as some want it, but it's happening. And number three, I'm praising him for what he's gonna do. What's he going to do? How do I know what he's going to do? Everything that's written in that Bible, that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do in my tomorrow situation that I'm not worried about, because I can't think about tomorrow because today has a problem of its own. But what I know is every time the devil throws something at my way, that God's got an answer for everything that's coming. That's why I praise him. I praise him for what he's done. I praise him for what he's doing. And I praise him for what he's about to do. It takes action for you and I to praise the Lord. Let me just be honest with you. This is not praising the Lord. I'm going to be real with you. This might step on some of your toes. But what I'm telling you is that praise takes an action. If praise is a faith in God of what he has done, you're thankful. How can you praise for something that hasn't been done unless it takes faith to praise him through the battle to get there? It might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It doesn't matter what you and I's situation looks like. What matters is that we're connected to the Almighty God who gave us a promise, who when he spoke his word, you and I know that that word is true and we can take it to the bank. I taught a message on Wednesday at church. This is so sidetracked. Oh, Lord, help me. I get in another house, I just lose my mind. Because I think you need to hear it all. I taught a message on Wednesday in the church, and I said, not one of you today came into this church and checked your chair before you sat down to make sure it was strong enough to hold you. Every single one of you came right in there and you plopped yourself down. And I promise you that everyone underneath the age of 19 plopped themselves in that chair. Now, all of you that are more dignified may have sat down very nicely like this. But not the rest of them. Why? Because those kids aren't afraid of falling on their face off of that chair. They don't care. You didn't pull this chair up and look at the weight binding issue underneath. How many pounds does it hold? I hope it's going to hold all 112 pounds of my body. That's not me. I was just making that up. If you assumed it was 112 pounds, that's your choice. You know, those license things, you can kind of get away with that because they really don't have a scale at the license bureau. They're like, how much do you weigh? And I'm like, what do I want to be today? Well, when I was 19, it said 102 pounds. My point is, no one gave a thought to sitting on that chair. You believed that a chair was meant to hold you, and you believed that it had what it took by the maker to hold your weight. What if we put the same amount of belief and faith into our God, who we've seen show up time and time and time again, and we just walked in to a situation and sat down and began to rest in the word of the God that he wrote to us and believed that it would actually hold us? What if we did that? Would our life look different? Would the situations in our life be different? Oh, yeah, they would be different. They would. Psalms 18:3 says that he is worthy. Worthy. That word worthy means he's deserving of our praise. And the word praise is an uninhibited, overflowing, joyful, boisterous recounting of the goodness of God. Did you hear that? You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. You all know the song? For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Just lift your hands. You're worthy of it all. Every situation. You're worthy of it all. All the good, all the bad, Lord. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. When some of you get mad mail, some of you get nasty stuff in the mail, you don't know what to do with it. Life's mail sends you something that you don't like. Lift up your hands. Now, if I go to my mailbox, when I go to my mailbox in the spirit and I see that there's things delivered that I don't want to deal with, that I'm like, Lord, this is not your plan for my life. Throw your hands up, for he's worthy of it all. He's worthy. I remind some of you, how many of you didn't meet Jesus in your younger days, but you met him in your older days? Anybody? So you know what alcohol does. Alcohol lowers your inhibitions. That's why people either get hangry or they get real mellow. You know, like my husband, he didn't drink anything in his life necessarily, but he said, I don't think I'd be a good drunk person, Nicole. And I said, why? He said, because I get angry. I think I'd get angry. But when you and I praise the Lord and really use praise in its definition, it is an uninhibited act. Now, you've all seen these videos of when people get drunk, and then after they come out of their drunk state, they're like, did I do that? That's what our praise can look like. God says that it's an uninhibited, joyful, boisterous. He's got a boisterous praise already. We should not be concerned about how we look or sound to our neighbor. And let me say this, that it says make a joyful noise unto the Lord, not sing on key to the Lord. So you can't use that as the inhibitor of not praising God. You got to throw that idea off and make a joyful noise to the Lord, no matter what it sounds like in what situation. And I'm going to be honest with you, as a praise and worship leader, there were times that the sound man needed to help the praise and worship leader out just a bit by turning her microphone down, because there were times that whether you're crying, you praised anyways. It didn't matter if the congregation was full or it was empty. I came to praise an audience of one, and that's who I came to give my praise to. I don't mean this bad. You haven't done nothing for me like die on the cross. You haven't helped me through my current situation, and chances are you're not going to be there when I go through it in the future, but there's someone who does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my situation through his eyes changes. And he's with me. And that's who I've come to praise. You and I have to remember who he is. And that's the reason that we pray. It means that you might have to praise him when things are bad. It means you might have fought with your spouse on the way to church. And it means that in spite of what your spouse thinks of you, look at her all high and mighty trying to act like everything's just perfect. Just lift up your hands. You're worthy of it all. I don't know how you're going to fix him. That's not what you should be saying. You're worthy of it all. I know you can fix me, Lord. I know you can fix this situation. That's where you're going to start. Psalms 34:1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. Continually be in my mouth. Now, we're going to talk about a group of people today that praise was not continually in their mouth. In fact, it was the opposite of praise. So go with me to Numbers, the 11th chapter, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump over to verse 14, or chapter 14, because we're going to speed the story up. It's a great story about the children of Israel, but I'm going to tell you, they had a lot of hang-ups, unlike us, who have it all worked out and we're perfect. Numbers 11:1. It says, I'm going to be reading from the NIV. It says, now the people complained about their hardships in hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Now remember, Moses is the great and mighty deliverer. How many of you have seen Charlton Heston's Moses movie? All right. Some younger ones, you haven't seen it yet. There's a new one on Netflix about Moses. I don't know how accurate it is, but it's on there. The point is there's 200,000 people that have just exited Egypt, and they're being led into the wilderness. Now, led because they're going to be tested. Their faith is going to be tested by God. Yes, you heard me right. God did not bring the struggle. He simply took them to the place where the struggle was going to happen so their faith could be tried and tested to make sure that they had what it took to walk into the promised land. How many of you feel like you're in a situation that you could be being tested right now? I've been through many. Trials and tribulations will come. We were not promised a carefree, smell the roses life without Christ. We were guaranteed trial and tribulation, but he would be there to walk with us through it. And his grace would be sufficient. Amen? Okay, let's remember that. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. Now, when the people cried out to Moses, first it started with a cry. Then go down to verse 4. It says, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, they're not asking, they're wailing. Moses, that's whining to me. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate when we were in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Poor little brats. Sorry, not that I've ever been a brat. I'm just saying, it's easy to see someone else's struggle when you know the answer, but when you're in the midst of yours, you don't see really what your struggle is. So let's go to verse 14, and let's go to 27. It says, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? This is Moses speaking. I have heard the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, sorry. I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who was grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land that I swore with uplifted hands to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Now, I looked up the word complain. And here's what the word complain means. Complaining is blaming someone else, slamming, criticizing and putting them down. Do you realize that when you and I are going through a situation in our life that we don't enjoy, when we're going through a situation that is not turning out the way that we expected it to turn out, and really we've been standing in faith for the way that we've told God it's going to happen. Anybody hear me there? Maybe I should say that again. Sometimes when you and I pray or go through things, we tell God the way we want it to happen. We don't ask him what his will is in the situation. We don't ask him to help us go through it with the most advocacy for us. God, your will, not mine, be done in this situation. And sound familiar from Jesus as he was not wanting to go to the cross, but joyfully he bore the cross for you and I. Why? Because it was his Father's will that was greater than his own. And he submitted himself underneath the Father's hand and said, I am humble. Move me like you need me to be moved. Sometimes you and I pray according to our will and the way we see it working out. And then when God doesn't do it in the time or the way we want him to, we're a little ticked off and we start complaining. It's not that we're not being fed. It's not that we don't have water. It's that we don't have the food that we want when we want it. They never wanted for food. They got manna every day. They just got sick of the same thing. All the while they were being provided for. God's provision was completely being faithful to 200,000 people. Not that they were hot in the daytime because they were shadowed by a cloud that would give them shade. Not that they were cold in the evening because there was a fire that set over them that kept them warm. Now you would think that there would be some gratefulness, some thankfulness in the heart of the people, but they had lost sight because they began complaining and blaming God for what was happening. That is the exact opposite of what praise is. How the Israelites literally set out on a journey. If they had not walked around the same mountain over 40 times for 40 years, they could have gotten to their destination in 11 days. Here's what I ask you. What in your life are you walking around complaining? 40 years. Listen, I know some of you got some hangups. I got a wrench that keeps getting thrown into my cycle all the time. And I'm like, you're getting out of here. I'm done with you. I'm not going to let you root in my heart as a stronghold. I'm going to rip you out and be done with this right now in the name of Jesus. And you know what? The next season around, here it comes. It looks a little different. It feels a little different. I'm a little bit closer to having it ripped out, but you know what? It's a thorn. It's a thorn. And I don't understand why, but what I understand is that God's grace is sufficient for me to get through this season. And as long as I keep walking, as long as I keep praising, as long as I keep remembering who he was, who he is, and what he's going to be in my future, that's all I need to do. Amen. And God's going to work the rest out. Some point, church, we've got to stop walking around what's staring us in the face and saying this is a struggle. Praise changes the way we look at things. And David says this in Psalms 34:3. However many of you have a King James Bible out there, the reason I pulled this is because this is how I memorized the scripture as a young kid. So it means a lot to me. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That word magnifying means make large, kind of like what my bifocals do. It takes these little words on the page and makes them so much bigger so I don't miscommunicate the word of God. They're amazing. But look, now you can see my big eyes. Do you see my big eyes? Why? It magnified something to you. David invites us in the scripture. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Look at your situation with spiritual eyes. The way God looks at your situation. Stop looking at that loss of job. Stop looking at that barrenness, the way the world looks at it. But look at my faithfulness and what I say. Look at the situation through my eyes and let us exalt and lift up. Let us lift high the name of Jesus. Let us. when someone in the church tells you their situation, just lift up your hands and start magnifying the Lord. They'll be, what is wrong with you? No, I'm just praising the Lord because I can see what God sees in this situation. And this situation is no longer going to be the way it is. But God's going to turn this situation around for good. He's going to give you joy for mourning. He's going to turn your ashes into beauty because this is what our God does. I tell you, church, and remind you that if your life is not good, then God's not done with it yet. He's not done. If you don't go, oh, that's good, he's not done. Praise doesn't change God. It simply changes the way you perceive him in a situation. It's your faith coming alive. It's exactly what Pastor Margo was telling you, that we have to stir up our faith within us. Why? Because faith pleases God and it gets God's attention. I think of when I'm praising, imagine being stranded on a beach. Stranded on a beach. Problem. Poor people. Man, I know. In spite of the sun in the Caribbean, that's where I'd see myself. Anyways, okay, we won't go there. See yourself as someone flying over the ocean and you want to get their attention. Get their attention. You're losing your mind trying to get the attention of this plane. This is what faith does to God. It says faith pleases him. When you praise in the midst of your struggle, remember, bring a sacrifice of praise. It's easy to praise him when it's good. It's easy to say, thank you, God, when you got enough money in your checkbook to pay everything. But it's not as easy to praise him from a place of desperation on an island where you got to praise and believe that you're going to be saved from the enemy. You're going to be saved from the situation that maybe you put yourself in. Did you hear that? God saves us even though we put ourselves in situations. Don't believe the lie of the devil. That's not true. Just because you got yourself here by a few unlikely choices that you shouldn't have made, that's okay. Don't live in a life of shame. Simply repent and turn from the sin that you came out of and remind the devil, you're not going to tell me about what I've done. I'm going to remind you of what Christ has done for me. That's the true remission of sin. And you trying to get me to live in this place of I feel condemned all the time and walking around, poor me. You're just going to complain more than get up out of the season, dust yourself off and say, no, I've repented. I've turned from that sin. And now I am a child of God, restored, and I'm going to walk in all of his promises. He holds nothing back from those who fall short and repent and turn. In fact, David, he's a pretty nasty boy. He has sex with a lady on top of a roof. Then he brings her into his house, but he don't want anybody to know because now she's pregnant. He's in trouble. So what's he do? He sends Uriah out on the first line, not the praise and worship line, the first line, and he dies. Oh, now our problem's gone. David took problems into his own hands, but you know what God said? God said, I wish that you all had a heart like David. What did that mean? David knew where to run when he made a mistake. David and Saul. King Saul, King David. King Saul is told what he's done wrong. He goes into a camp. The Lord told him to leave all the spoils. Don't touch any of it. Don't bring any unclean thing back into the camp. What does he do? The exact opposite. The men come to King Saul. King Saul, there's so much good stuff out there. We need to bring this stuff back to our place. Blah, blah. King Saul's like, whatever. Do what you want. I don't care. Forgetting that the word of the Lord had said to him, when Saul is confronted by the prophet who's nailing him to the wall, you know what King Saul's? It's those men that made me do it. He shifted blame. But when David was confronted by the prophet Nathan, and said, hey, what do you think should happen to a guy that took another man's wife, killed her husband, and now pretty much she's pregnant? What do you think should happen? He said, well, I'll tell you. And Nathan looks at David and says, that's you. And he said, oh God, I've sinned before you. Not that he hurt Bathsheba, not that he hurt the kingdom, not that he hurt the commander-in-chief of that army when he did what he did, but he knew that he had failed God. when you and I understand that what we've done in our choices fail God and just return to Him. It's that fast. That fast. Now we put back on the praise. What did David do after he lost his child? He put on the ephod. Guess what the ephod was? It was something you put on. Oh, these microphones. I'm sorry. That you put on this ephod and you walk into the presence of God and you begin to praise and you encourage yourself in the Lord. David knew. David knew that he could lie in grief and mourning and cry about what he had lost and complain and murmur, but it was going to get him nowhere. And the minute he put on the garment of praise and began to go into the presence of the Almighty God, it changed his situation and he stood up and he was a new man because he had turned to the Lord and went in to praise. You and I have that same choice. I finish and close with this. Psalms 92:1 says, "It is good to praise the Lord, to make music to your name. O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Praise isn't just for Sundays. Praise is for every day. Praise is every morning, every noon, every time you get a chance. And let me just say this. Praise is not just lifting your hands. Although I do that sometimes in the car, it's not a good thing. I didn't realize I was doing it until people were looking at me weird. And then I went, oh, you think I have my hands off the wheel, my knees on the wheel. It's fine. I'm just praising the Lord. I'm just saying, don't do that by the highway patrol. You might get pulled over and he's not going to use the excuse. You can't use the excuse. I was praising the Lord. He's going, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So praising the Lord in every situation. Do you know that you praise the Lord with how you live your life? How you work? How you raise your children? How your marriage looks? Some of us could hear that again. How my marriage looks brings glory to God. And if it doesn't look the way he says it could look, then it's not good yet. Don't give up. Don't give up. Throw your hands up and begin to praise the Lord about your marriage. In the morning, in the noontime, in the evening, praise ye the Lord. Mix your faith with what the scripture says. Pick a song that you know. Maybe you don't know the word like you should. It's a shame word. Devil's trying to shame you into reading the Bible. That's all right. Pastors, I'll tell you, you need to read your Bible. But I'm not going to make you feel shame and condemnation if you don't. But when a battle comes, you might not have the sword that you need to fight the battle, because the word of the Lord is like a double-edged sword. Get a worship song that ministers to you about your attitude in your marriage, your struggle at work. Oh, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. The devil tries to silence your soul. Don't let him anymore. Church, stand to your feet. David invited us to magnify the Lord with him. We can't magnify the Lord if we don't know him as our personal Savior. I'm not sure how Pastor Kylan, if he gives an altar call every single service, but I'm a firm believer that there should not be one person in this house that has not heard the call of God and able to respond. So I ask you today, I want to invite you to come into the kingdom of God. I'd like to invite you to come into the Only Believe family. And I remind you that Only Believe Church is not just for the perfect people. It's for the broken. Church is a hospital for all those that identify we don't have it right. And we're just trying to get it right. We're not trying to judge others that don't have it right. We're just simply saying, this is our family, and we're going to do our best. And let me remind you, sometimes family hurts family the most. I'm not promising a perfect place to live, but I am promising that we're going to continue to walk in God's perfect love. And love casts out all fear. And if you're fearful of church because of that reason, I'm here to reassure you that God's love is in this house, and it's in the pastorship of this church, and it's in all of the campus churches too. We love you, and there's nothing that you have done beyond the redemption of God. There's nothing too far. There's no sin greater than any other sin. Paul was the chiefest of sinners. So unless you've murdered someone in here today or done worse than Paul, he was a murderer, then I would say this family's here to welcome you today. So if you're here and you would like to ask Jesus into your life and to be your personal Savior, then I'm extending that invitation now. If you would, just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to come to you after church, though, because I want to talk to you. Is there anyone in this house that would say, Pastor Nicole, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to. Is there anyone that would do that today that would say, I've been living away from God, and I would like to accept him as my personal Savior today? I want this Jesus you're talking about. Is there anyone? Okay. Well, I'm going to take that as a note that everyone in here either knows God or you've been given the choice to know him. With that being said, I want to take some time. I'm going to ask that. Can I get some strumming? Perfect, Canyon. Thank you. I'm so used to asking for Samara, who I understand's at home with a new baby. I'm so excited. That's awesome. I think every time I come to Urbana, there's a new baby. Always. I'm loving it. I'm not dissing on that. I tell the kids it's instant membership to the church. It's a good thing. Instant. I want to pray for people today that you feel like you have lost your joy and you need your joy restored because of life situations. I understand life gets hard, but I want to pray and release that spirit of heaviness off of you. And I want to release praise as an act of faith in your life and to free some of those situations. I'm going to pray over everyone in general and dismiss those of you that need to go. I'm sure I probably held you past your moment today. I think it's normally like 25, 30 minutes. I'm not sure. Okay. I can't even see that, man. I'm just like, anyways. Now I need my glasses the other way. Are they? Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for this service today, Father. We are able to share in your word, to encourage one another in the Lord, Father, to stir up the faith that is within our hearts. Now, Father, I just ask you, Lord, for this group that's here today. Father, I ask you that everyone under the sound of my voice, Father, would go in a new way, walking a new way. God, that they would magnify you in their situation. Father, whether it's their job, whether it's their parenting, God, their finances. Father, I see a family hurt in someone's life. I want to say like a direct sibling, brother or sister has hurt you in your life, and I'm seeing that being restored when you praise. Whatever that means, I'm not quite sure, but I'm telling you that wrongs that were wronged can be made right through the heart of praise, and that praise will position you to receive God's promises. If you'll lift up your hands and just give that situation to him, stop trying to fix it on your own. I see you're trying to fix it with a tool. You can't fix it. It's only God that can restore what the enemy has come to break. And that bond's going to be stronger than when it was before. And you're going to realize that it was the enemy plotting you against each other. Be patient. And through your praise, allow God to do what he's going to do in that situation. But Father, I just thank you as they go on their way, God, that you would bring people into their lives this week that need to hear the gospel, that need to hear about Jesus. And Father, they would be bold as a lion to share their testimony, not to argue the word, but God, just share what God's done in their life. Tell what they've saw God do. As they go out this week, God, keep them safe, protect them until they meet again on Wednesday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come back on Wednesday night where you'll have Pastor Kylan back.